welcome to Understanding Our Times. I'm Ken Michael. Joining me is Pastor Josh Schwartz. And Josh, there's a lot going on out there right now that we need to discuss today. And before we get into all of that and talk about some really serious things that are happening out there around the world, but especially we're going to focus a little bit on what's going on in the country. This is a really special week. Mm-hmm. We're celebrating not only the birth and death, but the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. This is Resurrection Week. Why don't you give some words of encouragement before we get started here?
Yeah, absolutely. This is probably the most important week in all of history. Just under 2,000 years ago, this week, Jesus, the Savior of the world, was crucified by lawless men, intentionally put to death on my behalf and on yours. And we remember this. We celebrate this. We observe this week to remember what Jesus has done for us. Let me just read really quick to start us all off, to put us at ease, in essence, with why we are here. In Mark chapter 15, this is what Mark records about the last moments of Jesus' earthly life before he was crucified. It says this, Mark 15:13. When the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders hearing it said, "He's calling Elijah." And some ran and filled a sponge with sour wine and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come and take him down." And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." I start with that passage because it sets the tone. This centurion, this Gentile Roman executioner, recognized that the way that Jesus died was different. And he recognized that there was something about Jesus that showed him that this man was not a mere man, but was a Son of God. That sets the tone for who Jesus is. This is very important for us to see and understand. And later on in the program, we're going to deal with his resurrection in chapter 16. But just remember, we celebrate this week because this week is the crux of history, the crucifixion of Jesus.
Yeah, and we can never forget what he did for us. No matter what we talk about, no matter what we're seeing out there, and we're going to talk about some serious things, as I said earlier, but we cannot ever forget what Christ did for us.
No.
So in today's program, we want to focus on three things that we feel are going to impact not only the country, but the world itself. And these things are not only coming, they're coming quickly, and we're seeing a cascade of events that are happening. In fact, just this week, we saw a bridge collapse. Not only is that going to have a ripple effect in Baltimore, Maryland, but that affects the whole country and, in fact, the whole world. You get a lot of goods and services that Yep. come through that harbor. And we are not conspiracy theorists, but something doesn't feel right about this. There's just something going on there that's not right. I don't know if there's something they're not telling us. We don't know yet. We'll have to wait and see mm-hmm. What the investigation reveals. But something just doesn't. Yeah. It's almost like when we were in the pandemic and at the beginning, and we're like, you know what? Something just isn't right here.
This isn't coincidental. This probably wasn't an accident. There's something going on behind the scenes. After all, this bridge was a massive transit route for all kinds of goods and materials, and this is going to really impact the region. That's not going to be a good thing.
Absolutely. And then we're seeing pilots falling sick. We're seeing planes that aren't being the mechanics of the planes are falling apart. I mean, we're just seeing a number of events. But what we want to talk about today is something that's really serious. Mm-hmm. It's going to impact every single one of us. Most of the other nations have already experienced what we're experiencing now. And our friends that are in Europe, what we spoke to last year in Ireland and Scotland and Italy, mm-hmm. and then our friends over in Australia and New Zealand, they've experienced some of this. But what we're experiencing right now is this massive immigration, this infiltration of people that are coming to this country, and not all of them are coming here just to work or to do good. So let's take a quick look at this video, and then we'll comment on it.
Things are heating up along the southern border as migrants try to pull down border fencing again.
Alone among major U.S. cities, New York has a legal obligation to offer shelter to everyone who wants it.
They came from around the world, making often dangerous journeys to a city they hoped would offer them better lives.
We have this international crisis that really requires federal intervention that local government is being asked to subsidize.
Times Square has often been a hub for unlicensed vendors. While it's a ubiquitous image of city life, it is still prohibited by the New York City Transit Rules of Conduct. Selling churros and water bottles, Elvia Kaisa says everything she does is for her two sons.
It's definitely both a humanitarian crisis for the migrants that are arriving, and it is creating a fiscal crisis for the city.
I don't see an ending to this. This issue will destroy New York City.
I think it's, at this point, politically unsustainable for the Biden administration to maintain this unlimited flow into what's essentially a welfare state network of cities like New York and Denver and Chicago.
I will not ban people because of their faith. Unlike my predecessor, on my first day in office, I introduced a comprehensive bill to fix our immigration system. Take a look at it, as all these and more. Secure the border, provide a pathway to citizenship for dreamers, and so much more.
Yeah, and what we're seeing, Josh, is the influx of drugs. Massive amount of drugs are pouring into this country, killing our own citizens and maiming them, causing havoc in the families of American citizens. We're seeing the human trafficking.
Yeah.
We're seeing the child sex trafficking. If you want to talk about modern-day slavery, tens of thousands of children are being brought from all over the world across through South America, from Mexico into the United States, to be dispersed all across this country to be trafficked for sex. And this is such an abomination that not only does our government allow it, but the media won't even report on this. And we're, like I said, we're seeing gangs forming from Venezuela. We're seeing prison gangs being let out of these South American countries, flooding our nation. We're seeing young men from China being allowed to come over here and we don't know what they're up to yet, but we can only imagine that China does not just let their young people leave the country.
Right. And I think it's fascinating because a lot of people want to just focus on the border, as in they're walking across. But it has been verified and reported upon that it's not just those that are coming from the southern border or the northern border. These people are being bussed in and literally shipped in via airplane, hundreds and thousands of them. It's all confirmed. This is a demise from the inside.
It actually is. And now we're getting warnings from our own government, finally, that there's an influx of possible terrorists.
Right.
And we know that they're here. They've been coming since 9/11, but especially in the last 3 years now, we've allowed them just to pour. We have no idea how many people that want to cause this nation harm. The last estimate I heard is there's enough people that want to do this country harm, i.e. terrorists, that there'd be about 50 in each state.
Oh, wow.
So that's a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about what four people can do to a situation.
Yeah.
In Moscow, we just saw the terrorist attack in Moscow. That was four individuals, caused over 130 people to be killed.
Yep.
So imagine we have thousands of them here right now. And our message is you have to be prepared because, as you'll see here in a little bit in our next segment, the government's not going to be able to protect us. Unfortunately, our local police departments aren't going to be able to protect us. And our own government officials, as I said, are now warning us what's coming. So let's take a look at this clip, and you'll see what we mean, and then we'll discuss it after.
The head of the FBI issued a strong new warning today about an increased terrorist threat in this country from potential attackers who might be inspired by Hamas.
On Capitol Hill tonight, a stark warning about the growing threat at home from the devastating war abroad.
The ongoing war in the Middle East has raised the threat of an attack against Americans in the United States to a whole nother level.
Are we seeing crimes from people that entered the country over the last 3 years, some of them with ties to gangs or other criminal organizations?
Well, I guess what I would say is this. From an FBI perspective, we are seeing a wide array of very dangerous threats that emanate from the border, and that includes everything from the drug trafficking. The FBI alone seized enough fentanyl in the last 2 years to kill 270 million people. That's just on the fentanyl side. An awful lot of the violent crime in the United States is at the hands of gangs who are themselves involved in the distribution of that fentanyl.
So there is a network we're concerned about that has facilitators involved in it that have ties to ISIS and
Correct.
Other terrorist organizations.
Correct.
So as the director said, this is a network. This is being funded by NGOs. It's being funded by other governments. For these people can't just travel thousands of miles with no money. These are being funded by other organizations for them to come here to do the United States harm, and we're witnessing that. Now, what does that mean for you and I locally, no matter where you are in the country?
Yeah.
We're seeing police, the breakdown of law enforcement. We're seeing police departments being overwhelmed because of staff issues. And I want to just show you a picture here. Recently, the Minneapolis police chief came out and said, because we're so short, because we're shrinking, that we're not going to be able to investigate property crimes anymore. And he said the situation is unsustainable. This was from Chief O'Hara, Minneapolis PD. But now, that's just here in Minneapolis. This is nationwide.
Can you just define for us what a property crime is? So what does it mean that they're not going to be able to even be policing those?
So normally, if you have a crime, if you're the victim of a crime, say your car gets broken into or even your home gets burglarized, they're not going to be able to respond to that. They don't have the manpower for that. And the reason is we're into this third year now of defunding the police, and we're seeing the results of that. So, and I was in law enforcement for 30 years. I'm talking to my friends that are still in law enforcement, even in the smaller suburbs, the smaller counties, these smaller cities, they're feeling the pinch because no one wants to be in law enforcement anymore.
Sure.
And if you don't go out, if you're not practicing proactive policing, where you're going out and doing traffic stops and interdictions, and Josh, these traffic stops aren't made to harass the public or just hand out tickets. Criminals drive cars, and that's how we used to get criminals off the streets. You get serious felons off the street by doing traffic stops. They're not doing that anymore in most major cities. They don't have time for that.
So what you're talking about is more of a active versus passive policing, right?
Exactly.
You can't actively be doing these things.
You cannot actively go out and find criminals because you're always reacting to the... They don't even have enough police officers where we're at to respond to high priority calls.
Wow.
Like in progress, serious felony calls. That's where we're at. This is intentional. Now, they are going to backfill this at some point.
Absolutely.
And what do you think they're going to backfill them with?
Probably people that are not qualified.
People that are not qualified. They're talking about all of these immigrants that are flooding our country, hiring them. They're also making laws right now to arm illegal immigrants, get them so they can have permits for firearms. That's where we're at in this country. None of it makes sense unless you want to intentionally bring down a nation, bring a nation to its knees. So our message is, you need to be prepared to protect yourself and your family by whatever means. And that means just going out on a normal day, shopping and going about your business. We're seeing carjackings and assaults. I mean, just random assaults for no reason, skyrocketing.
Yeah.
And I think there's a couple of reasons for it, obviously, because there aren't enough police out there. But don't you think there's a spiritual element to this?
Absolutely. I think that, you know, it's kind of comes back down to Deuteronomy 28 and 29, these blessings and curses, this principle that when you're not going to honor God, when you are basically embracing a Romans 1 world,
exactly,
God's going to take his hand away, and that we're going to see more evil, we're going to see more lawlessness, we're going to see more brokenness. And I think all of this is satanically and demonically inspired to destroy the ultimate good that America has been for years.
Totally agree. Totally agree. So we're seeing, folks, what's this illegal immigration is cascading into this crime element, and it's not all illegal immigrants, but you're going to see them join gangs and create gangs as more and more people come in, and there are less and less jobs out there for people, and money is going to become tight. You saw in the video, there are people on the streets selling goods, right in the middle of public square. We've never seen. I mean, this is third world country stuff that we're witnessing. Exactly. So the third thing that we believe this is going to cascade into is a complete financial collapse, where not just here in the United States, but a worldwide global collapse. We've been talking about this for some time now. Let's take a look at this clip and then we'll comment on it.
I believe we will definitely see even more banks collapse. What they're trying to do is engineer a soft landing.
Discussing today's meeting, let me briefly address recent developments in the banking sector. In the past 2 weeks, serious difficulties at a small number of banks have emerged. History has shown that isolated banking problems, if left unaddressed, can undermine confidence in healthy banks and threaten the ability of the banking system as a whole.
With all the events of the past 2 weeks, do you still see a possibility of a soft landing for the U.S. economy?
You know, it's too early to say, really, whether these events have had much of an effect. It's hard for me to see how they would have helped the possibility. But
the problem is that we are transitioning into a new system, so there's no such thing as a soft landing.
Finance, including working as a portfolio manager at BlackRock, the world's biggest asset manager.
The U.S. is going to be similar to what is going on in Europe. So the European Central Bank has problems. The banks in Europe have problems. So Wall Street Journal on Friday last week said 186 banks in the U.S., regional banks, are in trouble. So if that's true, which I think it is, it's going to become increasingly difficult for them to stand alone. And, you know, so the question I've been asked is, well, is this intentional? Well, I don't know, but it's going to end up in the same place. If you wanted to introduce a central bank digital currency, wouldn't it be better to only have six banks in the U.S., all systemically important, basically run by the government?
So great question there. Is this intentional? And you heard Ed Dowd, who's a financial expert. He's a data person. If you haven't listened to his data on the pandemic, you might want to look up what he had to say about that. It's very fascinating, interesting. But what he's saying is we don't know, but we're going to end up in the same place. And that same place is exactly what we've been talking about. It's central bank digital currency. We can't sustain spending $1 trillion, borrowing $1 trillion each year just to pay the interest on our debt. And then we're printing $1 trillion about every 4 months to influx and keep the economy going. And many of these experts, and like I said, they're out there if you go out and hunt for them and find them. But they're telling us they probably want to get us through this election before this thing really gets ugly. And remember, when they implement central bank digital currency, it probably won't be overnight. There'll be a time delay there where they'll let us get adjusted to it. But once it's fully implemented, if we're still alive and here, that there goes our freedoms.
Exactly.
To buy and sell what we want, when we want, because we know the end result of this. Folks, this is Marxism. This is communism. Mm-hmm. This is the Great Reset.
Right. And I think we have to keep in mind, though, that say that central bank digital currency comes into play in our lifetime or before the rapture, we have to be able to understand that this isn't the mark of the beast.
Right.
This is something that controls everything. So we are going to have to not necessarily embrace it, but use it. So we can't be afraid of it, but we recognize that when this becomes the norm, when they go to the, you know, from the hundreds of regional banks to a handful of main governing banks to a total control of a central bank and digital currency, we have to be prepared for that. We have to recognize that this isn't something that we can necessarily avoid.
Right.
We have to be ready for the suffering, the persecution, the little t tribulation that comes through all of this.
And what we've been saying is prepare for the worst case scenario.
Yeah.
In other words, what would happen if you had no power? What would happen if you had no communications?
Yeah.
What would happen if you didn't have enough food? to last you even a few days. Most people don't have enough food on hand to last more than a few days.
Right.
And we know, we've seen the prelim to this, there will be a run on food. There will be a run on supplies if this happens. And it would take very little to shut down the electrical grid, the supply chain.
Yep.
I mean, we've been warning about this, folks, for years now, but we really need to be prepared for this. And like I said, these three things that we have been covering today, we're seeing the intentional takedown of our republic. We're seeing the creation of massive debt. We're printing trillions of dollars. We're allowing millions of people to come into this country that aren't citizens. And we haven't even talked about the rise of China yet. So those are all the things that are happening right now. Just last week, I just want to mention this. The president of the World Bank said that governments all over the world need to embrace a digital ID. And this digital ID is going to be the prerequisite to tracking what people buy and sell.
Wow.
And that's the main thing. They want to track and have power and control over every person on the planet.
Right. And it's like what you say in your presentations. They don't just want you to have this digital passport, this digital ID with you. They want it on you.
Right.
They want to track everything about you. Because it's all in the name of control. If you can control every individual on the planet, you can get across anything that you want.
Exactly. And that's their ultimate goal. All right, folks. Well, we have a couple of events coming up here shortly. On June 27th through the 30th, Josh and I will be in Colorado Springs for the Prophecy Watchers Weekend. Go to their website, prophecywatchers.com, sign up for it. If you can make it out there, if you're in the Colorado Springs area, please come out and join us. This is a wonderful event.
Yep.
We were just in Orlando here a couple months ago, and it was amazing. Wonderful speakers. It was just an amazing time to meet everybody. You'll get to see all the people that you probably watch and learn from on a weekly basis.
Yep. And before that, I'll be April 13th and 14th in western Minnesota, a small town called Pipestone, Minnesota. And there I'll be talking about the rapture views, the millennial kingdom, and all kinds of stuff. And then after that, on April 26th and 27th, I'll be in Maryland, just southwest of Baltimore, in Silver Spring, Maryland, at the People's Community Church, doing a seminar on what's going on in the world today and how does that relate to the scriptures. So really looking forward to those times together.
Awesome. And you know what? We'd like to give a shout out to our friend Brianna. She runs Harbingers Daily and Harbingers TV. Folks, if you haven't signed up for this, you want to have this. Go to harbingers.tv or Harbingers Daily and subscribe to it. It has not only us and Jan, but it has all of your favorite teachers and pastors that teach eschatology and Bible prophecy all in one place. It's some of the best. It's one of the best websites I've seen out there. So we'd like to steer you towards that if we could. So as we close it up here, Josh, why don't you bring us home?
Yeah, let's bring it all the way back. Remember, we started off in Mark chapter 15, but Mark doesn't end there. Jesus doesn't end there. He is crucified. The centurion does recognize that there was something different about Jesus in the way that he breathed his last. But remember what takes place afterwards. After Jesus is in the grave, we pick up in Mark chapter 16 and verse 1 when it says this. It says, when the Sabbath was passed, remember, this is after the Sabbath. So this is after Saturday. This is Sunday. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go and anoint him, Jesus. And very early on the first day of the week, Sunday, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying one to another, who will roll away the stone for us to make an entrance to the tomb? And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him? What we have to recognize here is that the resurrection of Jesus is real. The resurrection of Jesus actually happened. The women saw him crucified. They saw him buried. They saw the tomb in which they placed him. So they went there because it would be only logical that dead people don't rise. Well, they went there and they recognized the stone was rolled away, the tomb was empty, and they were informed by an angel that this Jesus who they were seeking, who had been crucified, has risen. He's not there. He's gone ahead of them to Galilee, and they were to tell the disciples. Friends, this is what gives us hope, because we serve a resurrected Messiah. If Jesus just died and stayed dead, we would just be part of an insurrection or a rebellion. But Jesus, because he resurrected, because he came back from the dead, he's defeated death. And in Jesus, we're told that we can also defeat death too, that we can be given eternal life, not eternal death. And it is because of Jesus that we can see these things. He was the one who resurrected because God counted his sacrifice as sufficient. He is the atonement. He is the propitiation. It is him alone in whom we trust, knowing that by faith in Christ alone, we can have eternal life. So friend, if you have not placed your faith in Jesus, let today be the day of salvation. Trust him. Recognize that he died a criminal's death on a cross for you and for me, that he was buried like any other person who has died. But he resurrected. He is risen. There was an angelic being who himself said that Jesus is not here. He is risen. And Jesus himself appeared to over 400 people over 40 days between his resurrection and his ascension to prove that he truly did bodily resurrect. We have our hope in Jesus. That's why we celebrate. That's why we can persevere and be preserved in these dark, evil days full of tribulation and suffering. Why? Because Jesus defeated death, and because we are in him, we know we will have eternal life with him.
Amen. Well, folks, that's it for this week. Until next week, be prepared, be ready, watch, and keep looking up. Bye now.